Good morning. It's good to be here with you to worship the Lord together. Can you think of a better place to be on a rainy Sunday morning and in church worshiping the Lord? A little bit ago, I guess we were all singing. I was. We sang the song, He Leadeth Me. And two questions. Is He? And do we believe it? Just think about your life. Think about this past week. Your devotional time, your time with the Lord, what did He teach you? What did He show you? What did He reveal to you? How did He lead you? Did He give you clear direction? Did you grow in your walk with the Lord this week? Are you closer to Him this week than what you were a week ago? Is He leading you? A thought you want to consider this morning is when the Lord calls, say, yes, Lord, I am willing. Because the Lord doesn't always call the abled, but He will enable those He calls. You know, when we were singing that song, He Leadeth Me, I thought, you know, so many times, I mean, you sit down at a worship service and just the way the Lord led Brother Dawson to sing that song and just how it's going to tie together with the message. And then Brian mentioned Bible school coming up, and Daryl mentioned, you know, need some willing workers, and the title this morning is A Faithful, Willing Servant. And this is not to put pressure on anyone to quickly run to that sign-up sheet and put your name down for a teacher, but I'm sure you will anyway. But are we faithful, willing servants? Did you ever say, no, not now, or maybe later, when the Lord was calling you to do a task for Him? We're human. You don't have to answer, but think about that. The Lord's looking for willing servants to work in His kingdoms. Why? Because He has specific tasks for us to fulfill. And maybe if you have a family, you thought, well, you know, the timing's not right, Lord. Our children are not at the right age, and maybe later will be better. Maybe you said no because, you know, it would take you out of your comfort zone. And a little bit on a comfort zone, it quickly becomes a reality when we begin to feel like we're pushed out of the area where we feel comfortable and secure in. Or maybe you said no, Lord, because you simply didn't want to do what He's asking you to do. Or you said no because, and here's one where our humanity starts to show, we feel someone else would better fit the position. You know, Lord, go ask brother or sister so-and-so. They can do that better than what I can. So who are you in the area of being a willing worker? What is your character in this area? And I'm not sure who teaches Sunday school, but in a few minutes we're going to look at our character in our Sunday school lesson. Yesterday, I looked at your bulletin on email, and I noticed for a while now you have someone assigned for evangelism. So there's someone down this week, and it says next week as well. Are we seizing those opportunities that the Lord provides? You know, we're looking at being a faithful, willing servant. The Lord's going to provide opportunities. Are we taking advantage of them? If your name is on that schedule, do you look forward to your week? And we can look at it. Is that your character? And hopefully it's just your lifestyle, willingly serving the Lord. And maybe you're saying, well, whether my name's there or not, I'm reaching out in every chance that I can. And praise the Lord if you're doing that. Our spiritual life is similar to a rubber band. Yes, all illustrations break down. But you take a rubber band, and I forgot to throw one in my pocket this morning. And when the rubber band's left and is just laying there on your desk, and it's in an inactive position, it's not fulfilling the task that it was made for. But when you stretch a rubber band, it immediately becomes useful in many ways. Now take that to your spiritual life. An unstretched Christian will become inactive. But when constantly stretched and motivated and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that very same person can become a great tool in the hands of the Master. You know, go back a little bit. I mentioned our comfort zone. And yes, we feel comfortable right there. Lord, let me be here. However, when he does decide to take us out and we are stretched, that's when our true colors come forth and we can grow and be more useful in his hands. And that we will grow when we are stretched. Question, who was the great Old Testament leader who said no when the Lord gave him an assignment? Who was it? John?
Jonah?
You're correct. And you know how pastors are. They always have a different name down to what the first person says. Thank you. You're correct. We could go a long way on that one. And that's a good one there. Jonah said, I'm not going there. I'm running. Who else? Thank you, Connie. Who else?
Moses.
Thank you, Connie, again. Dale, that's the one actually I have down. That's what I'm looking at. Moses. And when you think of Moses, I got a few things that he said here. It's not on the brightest side for a while, but we'll get to the point where I said he was a great leader. And also Jonah. After he said, okay, Lord, I will go, you know, the whole city changed. Two men there who said, no, I'm not doing that. But when they said, okay, Lord, I will, look at the change that happened. Moses, his name means rescued or delivered from the water. And we know the story of Moses. His mother placed him in that little basket on the edge of the river to save his life from the king who had commanded that all the baby boys should be killed. Then the king's daughter comes along and sees him there, rescued him. If you fast forward Moses' life for a number of years, Moses became a leader of the children of Israel. Quite a reputation. Romans 12:3, we read. Numbers 12:3. Now Moses was a very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So I'm taking you back to when Moses was first asked to go. And now we see what is said about him at almost basically later on in his life. The meekest man on the earth. And we know him as that. That's his reputation, his character. But how is this possible? This same man said no when the Lord asked him to go to talk to Pharaoh and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. Point number one, Moses says no. I'm going to jump through some verses here in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, 1 through 10. Quickly, Moses is born, ended up in Pharaoh's house. Moving on, 11 through 22, Moses killed an Egyptian. And I'm talking to people who know the story. He killed an Egyptian. He flees to Midian. And after a period of time, he marries Zipporah. Look at Exodus 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 23 and read through chapter 3, verse 6. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried. And their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountains of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said unto him, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. Here we see verse 6, the Lord is telling Moses, Moses, I'm the God of your own father, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. So Moses was aware of who was talking to him. He was aware that he was in the presence of the Lord, and his response was, he hid his face. If you look ahead, verses 7 through 9, the Lord tells Moses, you know, Moses, I see what's happening to the children of Israel there in Egypt. I saw their affliction. I heard their cry. And the Lord wanted to deliver them out of Egypt into a land of Canaan, which the land which is flowing with milk and honey. Then we got to verse 10, and Moses receives his call. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Okay, Moses, here we go. Here's your call. Come now, I'm asking you to go to Pharaoh and ask him to let our people go, and then you're going to lead these people out of Egypt. And it didn't take Moses long to say, no thank you. He said it this way, verse 11, who am I? Moses was not interested in this position. How do you expect me to lead these people out of Egypt? So who was calling him? Who saw that he was able, capable, and had the abilities to do so? The Lord. But Moses rejected the call. From verse 12 to the end of the chapter, the Lord tells Moses, Moses, this is how it's going to be. I will be with you. Back up to the song we were singing. He leadeth me. If he's leading us, is he in some foreign country doing so? No, he's with us. Here he tells Moses, Moses, I will be with you. So for practical application, what can we learn here? And as we all heard it said before, we need to be ready to go, but willing to stay. So you need to be ready to put your name on that list for Sunday school teacher, but willing just to be a helper in case someone else beats you to it. That's a different way we could look at it. Are we willing to do the work the Lord is calling us to do or fulfill the task that lay before us? Here's some words of encouragement. The Lord will not call us nor ask us to go anywhere nor to do anything alone. Regardless of what he's asking you to do, he will go with you. He's leading us. He will be with us at all times. It's impossible for you and I to find a place on this earth where the presence of the Lord is among the missing. Because it's not. You cannot do that. The Lord will always be with us. You go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, who was there? God. In the beginning, He was there before the beginning of time. And He is everywhere, ever present, always. That is the God that we are serving. Maybe this week he asked you to do something. I don't know what it was. And you said, wait a minute, that's not going to fit my schedule. Just think about it. He'll go with us. He is everywhere. That's the God that we are serving. When God calls, God leads the way, and God will be with you. Back to Moses. Where was he at? In the desert, taking care of the sheep? Correct. But where else? He was in his comfort zone, obeying or doing the task for his father-in-law, alone with the sheep, with no one to talk to, content to watch the flocks, until God showed up with an opportunity, and Moses said no. When the Lord calls, says, yes, Lord, I am willing. The Lord does not call the abled, but he will enable those he calls. Point number two, Moses made excuses. Chapter 4, verse 1, Moses says, what if they don't believe me, Lord? Well, what if they refuse to listen to me? Well, what if they say, Moses, the Lord did not appear to you? So here we see the fear of rejection. Along with this fear is the action of minimizing the power of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, Moses knew the Lord was talking to him, but he still says, oh, this activity is going to break down, because what if they say, you're not the man? He was making excuses and basically minimizing the power of the Lord, telling the Lord his plan is going to fail because of the lack of the strength, which is a lie from the devil. But the Lord had already told Moses he was going to be with him and would make sure everything worked out. Basically, all that Moses had to do was to go and allow the Lord to do the rest. And think about that. The same holds true for you and I today. We need to go and allow the Lord to do the rest. We may not know all the details or where we're actually called to go, or the path that he's asking us to take may be rocky and hard. But the Lord doesn't require us to know the details. He didn't tell Moses, here you are, I'm going on vacation, go do take care of this. No, he will be with us. We may not know all the details, but all he's asking us to do is to be faithful. Brother, sister, just go. Just be faithful, and I will take care of it. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we do know, and we trust the one who has tomorrow in his hands. We don't know our future, but we know who does, and we trust him for what comes our way. Then we can also ask the question, what is the Christian's job description? What is our job description? And that could vary. That's pretty a broad question. But we could narrow it down to one, there's more, to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. First of all, do we know him? And second of all, are we willing to make him known? To know him is to obey him. And the better we know him, the easier it will be for him to direct our way. So it comes along with submission being in there, humility, as we just follow where he wants us to go. Back to Moses again, we know the struggles he had as he led the children of Israel out of the wilderness. It was a difficult journey, as we read, but the Lord was with him every step of the way. Remember the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, carefully watching every step. Did the Lord change since this story's taken place? No. He'll watch your step. He'll be with you each and every step of the way. Are we being faithful to his call, or are we, like Moses at this point of his life, making excuses? Then in chapter 4, verses 2 through 9, the Lord tried to show Moses his power so that the children of Israel would believe that he is one that God had sent. Imagine turning a stick into a snake and back again. Imagine you put your hand in your pocket and you pull it out and it's covered with leprosy. Then you reverse the action, your hand's restored. The Lord's saying, Moses, look what I can do. Not in pride, but saying, look, I have the power to do that. And I can obviously help you and be with you and lead, as you lead these children out of Egypt. And all these miraculous signs, Moses is still not convinced. Then I had to wonder, as I was studying, was Moses afraid that the men that were looking for him, there were still those men that were looking for him because he had killed that Egyptian back there in Egypt. Is that the reason he didn't want to go to Pharaoh? Because he knew that if he approached Pharaoh, these men are going to say, hey, that's the man. Is that why he was refusing this assignment? Well, if you jump down in chapter 4 to verse 18, we see Moses decided, okay, he is going to go. And it was only after that he was willing to accept the assignment that the Lord told him in verse 19, the Lord said to Moses, go return into Egypt, for the men are dead which sought thy life. After he had said, okay, I'm willing to go, the Lord said, oh, by the way, Moses, I'm a couple steps ahead of you. I took care of that. Those men are not living anymore. And then I had to think, did you ever pray for divine appointments? You know, Lord, send someone our direction so we can give them a track. Share the gospel message with them. How about those in evangelism this week or next week as you pray for divine appointments? God's going to take care of stuff ahead of us. What Moses there saying, not willing to go, Lord, because there's five guys over there are going to kill me if they see me. And the Lord said, Moses, don't worry about it. I took care of that. And as you pray for your divine appointments and as you reach out, whether it's those on the list to do it this week or next week or not, the Lord will take care. He steps ahead of us. What must we do, and what must Moses, should Moses have done? Just be willing to go. He prepared the way in advance. Are we praying for that divine appointment? When the Lord calls, he prepares the way. There's no need for fear. We need to go in faith and allow the Lord to reveal his power. There's nothing that he cannot do. We go back to the children's songs. They stand up front and they sing, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing. And that's the children telling us. And as we as adults, we kind of, wait a minute, he's not big enough for that. No, let's have childlike faith. Moses, his excuses continued in verse 10. Now he talks about who he was. He said, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. Never been. And even after spoken to you, I'm still not. He said, I'm clumsy with my words. Well, he was continuing to minimize the power and the ability of the Lord. You know, Lord, even though you're still you're talking to me, I still do not feel like I'm able to take on this responsibility. And Moses assumed, for some reason, that a seasoned speaker would be required for this calling, both to persuade Israel to go with, to follow him, and to plead before Pharaoh, so he objected. Now what was he doing? He was trying to use the way that God had made him as excuse for not being willing to go. Lord, when you made me, you didn't give me a good tongue and a good voice box. I'm not going to go. And I see this, and then I think there must be a hidden motive behind his actions. Let me read a verse from Acts 7:22. And Moses, well, this is the guy that said, I can't speak. Acts 7:22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Remember, he lived with Pharaoh's daughter. And it says, and was mighty in words and deeds. So why did I call this an excuse? Because it was an excuse. Because Moses had the ability, but unwilling to use it. His reputation was, or his character was, he was mighty in words and deeds. So, verse 11, the Lord comes back to him with an answer. Moses, who made your mouth as well as the rest of our senses? Moses was filled with doubt and fear, telling his creator, you know, Lord, I have an inadequate voice box and I cannot speak well. What is actually happening here? Moses is living in defeat and refused to allow the Lord to help. By making all these excuses, Moses was allowing his present condition in life to hinder his spiritual growth and work for the Lord. Are we ever guilty of that? You know, I can't do that, Lord. And basically, in reality, we're allowing our conditions to hinder our spiritual growth. Remember, back to the rubber band. Do we like to be stretched? Let me ask it this way. Is it good for us to be stretched? That's a different answer. If we want to grow. The Lord had come to Moses with a great opportunity. And for him to see the power that the Lord had from a first-hand experience, and he was refusing so he could continue to take care of the sheep. Moses was content to stay where he was, unwilling to be stretched, unwilling to be used, making excuses, and his spiritual growth was at a standstill. Earlier I asked, who was this, I said, great leader? And Moses is known as a great leader, but as we get to that point, we find some negative points. Spiritual growth was at a standstill. Question, where are you at in your spiritual life? Are you growing? Are you listening to and allowing the Lord to use you to build his kingdom? We could ask the question, are you living in victory? When the Lord calls, say, yes, I am willing. The Lord does not call the able, but he will enable those he calls. If we're not living in victory, where are we? We're living in defeat, bound by sin and Satan. We will continue to go through life making excuses because of sin in our lives or life's experiences. Are we content to allow our spiritual life to become stagnant because of past experiences? Or are we making excuses because of the way we were created? And when we do that, along with Moses, we are minimizing the power of the Lord. Again, are we living in victory? Well, what is victory? Victory is no longer living in the bondage of past battles. The battles that have been won in the past, we're no longer living in those bondage, but we're living in victory. We conquered those and we're pressing forward. If you're using past experiences and circumstances to apply the brakes on your spiritual growth, for you or your family, just listen to a verse from Romans 14:12. So then every one of us must give an account of himself to God. Each one here will give account to God how we lived our lives while we were on this earth. So God created you with a purpose, enabled you with the talents needed to perform the tasks that he is calling you to do. And are we allowing him to work in our lives? Don't stand before God on judgment day and tell him that you said no because of something that happened in your past. So I'm not here to overlook sin, but we need to be a forgiving people, putting the past behind and moving forward on our spiritual journey through life. Why? For we will be held accountable. Are we giving our all to the Lord, our fullest potential? And I'm not preaching a works mess sermon because we're not saved by works, correct? What are we saved by? We're saved by grace through faith, correct? But that grace and faith that saved us will also motivate us to be involved in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's not get into involved in a works religion, but they do go hand in hand. James tells us about that. To follow the example of Moses, especially at this point in his life, and say no with a list of excuses is a dangerous example to follow. Why? Because heaven, I believe, is just around the corner. Possibly the next corner for you or for I. Are we living in victory? Are we laying up treasures in heaven? Or are we coasting through life in our own little comfort zone, saying no to kingdom building work because of past experiences? Verse 12, Moses, the Lord promises Moses, please go. I made your mouth. I will be with you. Moses, I will be so close to you that I will actually tell you what to say. Go back to the song, He Leadeth Me. That's why I ask, do we believe that? He's just right there with us. Moses was living in fear. We have nothing to fear as we work for him. Moses, all I need from you is a willing spirit and a positive attitude. I will take care of everything else. Verse 12, now, therefore, go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what I want you to say. What's left for Moses? Moses, just put your sandals back on and start walking. The Lord will take care of the rest. Moses, I will make you a great leader. Just trust me. Think of trust just for a moment. It's similar to taking your young child by the hand and going outside with them when it's dark, maybe to feed the animals or put the bike away for the night. When you, as their parent, is right there with them, the child will have nothing to fear. You tell them to go out on their own, they say, no, they don't want to do that. Or they want a flashlight. Or you go with them, no reason to fear. It's a picture that the Lord was trying to get across to Moses. Simple, childlike trust and faith, which is the absence of fear. So after all that, Moses comes back with an answer in verse 13. And in the Lord's eyes, this could be one of the saddest answers I believe he has ever heard. King James says, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Could be reworded, Lord, send someone else. Send by anyone, only excuse me as incompetent. You know, he had tried many ways, many excuses, and finally he simply tells the Lord, you know, Lord, just find someone else to lead your people. Was this the easy way out? Was Moses successful with his answer? Is this an option for us today? Verse 14, what was the outcome? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The Lord's anger burned against him. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can understand the Lord's feelings here. Moses made a number of excuses, and now I think this is which led to here a big mistake. So the Lord, if you fast forward, had Aaron, Moses' brother, go along to be the spokesperson in the place of Moses. And somewhere between verses 13 and 18, Moses agrees to go as the Lord had asked. When the Lord calls, say, yes, I am willing. The Lord does not call the able, but he will enable those he calls. The third point, Moses, the great leader. Turn to Hebrews 11. And what we have here is the faith chapter, well known as the faith chapter. And here we see seven verses written about Moses. And four times we see the words, by faith. We just look at his response to the Lord's call in Exodus. And now here in Hebrews, we see what is written about him after he allowed himself to be used for the Lord. And we could go back in Exodus and read more, but what we will find is there are many great and miraculous works that were done by the hand of Moses, obviously through the power of God, after he said yes to the call from the Lord. And we could ask another question. Are we ever guilty of restricting the Lord's power because we're saying no to his call? The Lord might have some great work for us to do, as he did for Moses, but are we ever guilty of restricting his power because of that? Is our family being held at a spiritual standstill because we're not willing to move forward for the Lord? And yes, the message title is a faithful, willing servant, but this is not necessarily referring that we have to pack our bags and move to a foreign land, although that is fine if he calls you there to go. But maybe it's the next door neighbor. Maybe to share the gospel in the next town, or to witness to the customer you're working for, or the hurting person you see, or taking your family on the next spiritual step forward. What is the Lord calling you to do? Are you ready to go, or are you ready to make another excuse? Will you say, yes, Lord, here I am, I'll do that for you. Look at Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to the years, so of accountability we could say, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling above, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea by dry ground, which the Egyptians assayed to do were drown. Just look at the difference that the outcome, how different the outcome was after Moses was willing to follow the Lord's command. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Because why? He knew God had better things in store for him. Those who are in tune with God will be in tune with God's will for their life and will willingly follow his calling. Verse 26, the rich, soft, easy life of being a grandson to the king did not entice him to forsake God. He saw something that was better than what they could be there to be the grandson of the king. He had a heavenly vision and a determination to be faithful. He left Egypt fearing nothing with his sights set on God. Moses kept the Passover, obedient, faithful. Verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea, what? On dry ground. I love that story. They passed through on dry ground, the same sea that later destroyed the entire Egyptian army. After they crossed the Red Sea, the bitter waters were made sweet for people to drink as Moses followed God's word. Earlier, Moses told Pharaoh, you know what? All these 10 plagues are going to happen if you don't let the children of Israel go. And they happened exactly as God told Moses they would, all through Moses leading here. Later, Moses strikes a rock. What comes out? Strike a rock, you do it tomorrow, what's going to happen? Here, water came forth. Was this the work of Moses? No, the power of God. How? Through the hand of his now willing servant. How about the time of battle when the men held up Moses' hands and they won the battle? God at work through the hand of Moses. Where did the 10 commandments come from? God handed them to Moses twice. God handing something directly to him. The tabernacle, detailed instructions given from God to who? To Moses. And he carried out the plan. What did they eat through all this long journey through the wilderness? Manna. Where'd that come from? Quail. Again, miraculous way of feeding the children of Israel. And the story of Moses could go on and on. God leading him and the children of Israel with a mighty hand, from a shepherd whose comfort zone was in the desert, watching sheep, sitting there, basically, I don't want to say nothing, but watching the sheep, from that to a great, meek leader, chosen by God to lead his people out of Canaan. So which Moses best describes you this morning? The one earlier who made excuses, or the Moses who said, yes, Lord, I will go and work for you? Is the anger of the Lord burning against you, or are you on fire for the Lord, breaking down the gates of hell? We were not created to grow to a certain level in our spiritual lives where we say, that's the plateau I want to reach, I'm going to stay there. That's not how we were created. But we need to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and growing each and every day. Is sin or past experiences hindering your spiritual growth, or are you faithfully serving the Lord, following His call, and willing to be used as He wants you to be. When the Lord calls, say, "Yes, Lord, I am willing." Why? Because He does not going to call those who are able and qualified and so on and fit for the work and study for it, although He does use those as well. But here's the point. God will enable those that He calls. I don't think we're going to sing "He Leadeth Me" again. Maybe we are. Maybe it'll surprise us. But go back to that. With everything that I said, it sums it up right there. When we go home today, and we sit down on our recliner, are we going to say, "You know, Lord, thank You for leading me"? Is He leading you? Is He leading me? Are we following His call? Put fear aside. Go back to childlike faith and trust, the absence of fear. We are serving a great God. Let's give Him our everything and our all. Let's pause for prayer. Lord, we come before You this morning to say thank You, God, for this story of Moses' life. And although he said no, and although sometimes we are tempted to do the same, help us, Lord, just to press forward, to be a willing, faithful servant of Yours. Give us wisdom and direction. Thank You in advance for the way You will lead us and give us and guide us. Help us to be faithful and just to do what You've called us to do. Lord, watch over each one here this morning and bless each one, and also pray in advance that You would just be with their Bible school here coming up another month. Thank You, Jesus, for Your goodness. We love You, Lord, we pray. Amen.